we're all very proud, really, I suppose. I think we saw a stat in the first half of the game on last weekend, and he was the most offensive player on the field. He beat more players and gained more metres than anyone else on the pitch, and he's a tight head prop. You know, so that's a great issue. I know it's only a little subplot within the game, but still for him, you know, a revelation. I think he's already a revelation, really. I think since the Lions tour, really, everyone kind of knows who he is. But yeah, for sure, in this World Cup, he's definitely shown up. And for me personally, it's fantastic to see him. You know, we're always rooting for him. I was roaring him at work on Saturday, watching the match on my phone, jumped up when he went over the line, and they were all looking at me going, what is wrong with this fella, you know? So yeah, look, personally, it's fantastic and absolutely delighted to see him go so well, and long may it continue, really, on Saturday especially.
Just from your experience, like, how did you get to know him first playing rugby, and tell us a little bit about ye growing up, and not just him but just the team in general. It must have been a pretty successful side.
Yeah, I first met Tadhg through playing rugby. I started playing rugby, I went to secondary school. He's from the next parish to me, but I didn't know him apart from that. We started playing and we became very good friends. We have the same circle, especially later on in school. We're in the same year in school, kind of TY, fifth, sixth year. We became good mates. We played together all the way up through the ages. We had a very successful team under 19s. Our final year together, we finally clicked. We won a Leinster Premier A title that had eluded us for a long, long time. So Tadhg was obviously a core to that, still tight head that time, and he dabbled a bit between number 8 and tight head underage, depending on the opposition, really, I think, and how strong their front row was. But once he got into the kind of Leinster development squads and then the Irish youths, and, you know, he took 2 weeks off school before Armagh's, like, to go to the under-18 World Cup, which wasn't great for the leaving cert, I suppose, but, you know, what an opportunity he got. And he actually captained the following year, he captained an Ireland team at a European competition. So, yeah, look, personally, I know him well. Look, we were at a wedding there during the summer. He came down for it, totally relaxed. He's great crack. When he comes home, he likes to switch off a bit from the rugby and takes a bit of abuse from us and throws it back. And, you know, we always try to meet up as much as we can, especially when he's home. He doesn't have that much downtime. So, look, he loves to get home. In fairness, we like to share the life of him when he is here. He gets away with very little now with our group, you know. So, but yeah, I know him a long, long time.
Proper order as well. I mean, I suppose I was just talking about the school scene, and Ireland would have traditionally been dominated by schools players. Tadhg is very much an exception to that in terms of the way he came up through the clubs, and we're seeing that more and more now, guys going up through the clubs and the IRFU taking note of the club scene. So from somebody that's involved in it, that must be very gratifying and shows the importance and what a crucial role that the clubs play at part of Irish rugby.
Yeah, he almost broke the mould from that point of view. There were very few guys had come up through the clubs without playing for a big school before him, really. You could count them on one or two, and they were from the Southeast as well. You know, Jackman O'Brien. There was a couple that weren't involved in schools, Dublin schools, basically. But I think he couldn't be ignored. From 16 up, he was very obviously better than someone. You know, he progressed through so quickly. You know, we were barely out of college. Or barely in college, and he was playing Leinster games. You know, when during the Six Nations we were, oh Christ, he's on the bench for Leinster. You know, and it progressed very quickly for him. But yeah, to come from where we're sitting now, you know, New Ross, a relatively small young club, to where he is now, what a credit to the club and to, I suppose, to the system that he defeated the odds essentially to get ahead of guys who maybe on paper should have been ahead of him, but, you know, I'd say he broke the glass ceiling and pushed on, so it's deadly.
And it's massive momentum behind the club as well, just from a playing point of view. Like, you're seeing, as a guy who went all the way up through the underage, you're seeing kids now look at, like, you slag him off and he comes home, but you're seeing the underage kids looking and saying, I can do that. Like, if I can do that, I can do that. And even yourself, even Leinster squads, I can do that.
Yeah, there's no one here who doesn't know who he is now at this stage, you know. And you go up to the club, and anytime he does pop up, young lads, especially if he pops up on a Saturday, everybody wants to see him. You know, he's so giving with his time. Like, he will sign something for everyone, smile to everyone, chat to everyone, throw a ball around with young lads if he has 5 minutes. But yeah, I mean, he's a great ambassador for our club, and it's a great, exactly what you said, I can do that. You know, like you said, he broke that glass ceiling. So if he can do it, why can't I do it? And that's great. That is fantastic aiming point for young guys now coming up. You know, that stigma is gone. Tadhg Furlong's from New Ross. He's playing for Ireland. I can do that, you know. And why not? And that's great. And what a what a way to be and what a way to have changed. And like you said, sure, that's it's unreal, really, like that.
Absolutely. Peter, I want to bring you in, Peter O'Brien. You're the chairman of New Ross. I'm going to ask you the same question, just about, from your perspective, how big an impact has his progression through Irish squads into the Irish team, into the British and Irish Lions World Cup? What impact has that on the club?
Well, it's obviously has been massive, and he's such a leadership role as well. You know, you're talking about a very honest guy. You know, but just on the, you're on about rugby, just rugby in the southeast at the time. You know, I'm giving an example of, there's 10 clubs in the southeast. You know, I won't name the clubs, but New Ross is one of them, right? But last year, just as an example, there were 670 games played at underage in the southeast, and you can imagine the volume of players that's there. Now, the Leinster branch have YDOs going around to pick up the likes of Tighe. Now, when Tighe was so good, he didn't have to be picked up. But that development is still there with huge teams where you have YDOs going around looking at clubs, looking at players. But just on the 670 match we're on last year, probably 700 were played again to get to the end of the season, maybe May and June. You know, and they played out all the leagues, the length of the league, and played them out. And this year in New Ross, you know, we have 200 underage. That's 8, 10s and 12s. Then we have boys at 13s, 15s, 17s and 18s. We have girls at 14s, 16s and 18s. And we have over 35 coaches. Now, a lot of that is getting back to Tighe again. A lot of that is the impact Tighe has had on the club. And as Kieran said earlier, he's available to come to the club, present jerseys, get involved in fun runs. You know, so he's very much part of the club, as is his father and mother. You know, they're a very important part in the way Tighe developed as well. You wouldn't want to forget, as I often say to his father, he put 400,000 kilometres on a car, bringing him to train over a couple of years, and that's a fact. Do you know what I mean? So a parent is very much involved in the way Tighe developed as well, you know, both his parents.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're somebody that's involved in the club a little bit longer than Kieran, as I think it's fair to say, so you've probably seen the good and the bad, that whole Cork, Limerick, Belfast, Dublin, those rugby centric places, that's now being more diluted. Like it's now more accessible to everybody around the country than it ever was.
Yeah, well, even taking the Scarty, in fairness to me, Scarty went senior this year. And now they were down in Brough last weekend, and they were beaten, or I think they were beaten 28-23 roughly. That might have been the score. But when you go back a couple of years, it would have been unheard of for a Leinster team to go to Brough and get any kind of result. You could be talking about 50 points getting out. I mean, I remember Water Park going to Prof in the Senior Cup a couple of years ago, and they came out with ambulances. Do you know what I mean? that is a fact. Do you know what I mean? So that's how much Leinster Rugby has come along. And there's also just a point about Leinster Rugby as well. I was in chairman of the Leinster Branch Youth Section some years ago, and we were going with an under-18 side. Well, Kieran Maloney was on the under-18 side. He's from New Ross, a very good player from New Ross. And there was a guy by the name of Richie Bulger on the Leinster under-18s as well. So we have other players as well besides Tighe, you know, but never got that further. But the key to what happened in Leinster was the YDO was trawling the clubs years ago. A Munster at the time were winning the Heineken Cups, and they felt they didn't have to do it. Yeah. But now they begin to realise they do have to do it, you know, and there's players in those clubs that you need. You know? Like you take New Ross, Wexford, Enniscorthy, Gorey, Tullow, Arklow, Wicklow, they have all rugby clubs. And there's more young lads playing rugby, possibly behind soccer in New Ross. You know, I named out the amount of teams New Ross have. But the same amount of players in Enniscorthy, the same amount of players in Gorey, Wexford, Wicklow. You know, and I explained to you the volume of games that are being played every weekend. And when you're trawling those, you're going to, like, Shane Horgan, that he came up through the clubs, Sean O'Brien, Tighe Furlong, you know, so you might get, out of every club, you might get one or two, but one or two is an awful lot to have a big impact. Yeah. You know, and that's where it's coming from. It's coming from the grassroots. You know, and in fairness to Leinster, some people might get the impression that Leinster don't look after the junior clubs, but they do, you know, and they do give support to junior clubs, and they keep the junior clubs very much involved in what's going on.
And I'm glad you said it, because I was going to go to you next, David, just about junior and senior clubs, because you mentioned Sean O'Brien, you mentioned Shane Horgan, like, and the same down in Munster, there's a lot of club players coming through, but they tend to be encouraged to go play senior rugby at an early age. But Tiger's a great example of somebody who would have played with a junior club but still managed to go through the ranks. So that must be particularly satisfying.
I think it is. And I think, in fairness, there's no need to interview me anymore because Peter's have sent a whole lot there. In fairness to him, I thought he gave a great analogy of what went on in Leinster, Munster, Connacht, and Ulster. So that's well done, Peter. That's it. We're seriously satisfied with what's after happening with Tadhg. And I think, in fairness to Peter, he hit the nail on the head there. If you go back to the YDOs and you're looking at the youths, you know, John Keane is here to my left, and John would have spent loads of years at another great, and in fairness, we had a great clubman, Lord Mercy, called Godfrey Hill. Godfrey would be a bit of a legend in our club because he took every 5 and 6 and 7 year old, and they were all Brian O'Driscoll's. Yeah. They were all Mike Gibson's, and they were all Philip Orr's and anyone you want to name in between. And now all of those are now, they're all Tadhg Furlongs. Yeah. So from our end of it, I don't think, lads, we ever took the eye off the ball when it came to the youth structure in the club. One of our fantastic figures last year, I was so proud to have been president at the time, was that we went through a season last year where we competed at the levels from under 12 up to under 18.5, and we contested a final at every age level, boys and girls. So that for us was an unbelievable satisfying achievement. And like going back to what Peter said there, yeah, you've got the Tadhg's end of it. I remember actually, I think John Keenan might remember, maybe not. I remember when Tadhg, I saw him day one because he played with my young fella Kevin on the teams coming up. And I remember playing against Arklow in Euros. He was 14 years of age. He was playing number 8. And I remember the Arklow scrum half got the ball and he came around and he ran into Tadhg. And instead of Tadhg taking the ball off him, he actually picked the young fella up and ran with the young fella as well. So he had your man, as I would say, your man ball and all, and he going down the field with him. So, I mean, when you're looking at that going, jeez, there's something special with this fella here, you know. But we're chuffed, as much as saying. As I said, I go back, like Peter here, I go back with the parents. I knew Tadhg before he was born, put it that way. We would have been, Rosemary and I would have been very friendly, and still are with Mac and James. And certainly from their end of it. They have another young fella called Owen, and he's, better mention Owen as well, he's a prolific musician. But I mean, the two lads at home, I travel a fair bit with them to games, and they know that this is a very short journey. Yeah. As I would say, it's a window of opportunity that they have,
yeah,
and they're enjoying it because it doesn't last forever, and they're making the most of it, and well, they deserve it, absolutely. The time and effort that both of them have put in to trucking that fella up and down to Dublin.
I think one of the things that hasn't changed, or certainly something that I think a lot of clubs do really well to hold on to, and I think as well, to be fair, at the pro clubs as well, is from the move from the amateur side of things, was the kind of sense of community, the sense of camaraderie.
Well, like, from our end of it, you wouldn't be too big for your boots down here, no matter what you're after doing, you know, because in a very nice, polite and subtle way, you'd be getting back into line. Do you know what I mean? Like, the Alicadoos are the Alicadoos in the club, and they have a little bit of a right, or they have a kind of a wherewithal to come out with a few things.
Yeah.
And you're not questioned on it because it's for the betterment of somebody else. Tadhg, in fairness, from the parents' end of it, would be very grounded. Even at 8s, 10s, 12s or 14s, before Tadhg had made it onto the bigger stage, you know, he hasn't changed a huge amount. You know, he's just got bigger, that's all. Bigger and better. And I'm talking about Tadhg now, not the father. But I mean, I think from a club end of it, we're a family club. You know, as I said, you play, you pray, and you stay with your ass. And you know what? It's just lovely to see a well-balanced, grounded young fella achieve the success that he has and still be able to come back and walk into a club as he did with our AGM this year, walked into the club and he sat down on the first bench, left-hand side, looked up and made a couple of comments, and it was great.
Yeah.
Do you know, that I don't know of any other kind of international might go to the AGM and come down, you know? So yeah. I know we're delighted, thrilled with him, thrilled.
John, just what's your first memories of Tadhg coming into the club and as a young rugby player?
Well, I'll step back a bit before Tadhg came into the club because, like Peter and David, I played with
Tadhg's father, though I can say with absolute certainty that Tadhg gets all his talent from his mother. My first memory of Tadhg would be, I can remember it well, we went to a under-8 blitz in Carlow, and this was my first involvement with kids. My own sons were playing as well, and this little squeaky voice chirped up from a seat that, "Hey, mister, will you tie me shoelaces?" So I looked around, it was Tadhg, so I also think that that's probably the only thing I ever taught him was how to tie his shoelaces. In fact, I'd be very happy that he's quickly forgot anything else I ever taught him, because if he was playing the way I had taught him, he'd still be with the seconds in Uras. So that's my first memory of him, as a squeaky little 6 or 7 year old playing under eights. And he was, I described him as a human cannonball. He could destroy players even at that age. He knew how to use his power. He knew how to use his strength. He played with his head rather than with his heart. He had natural skills with his hands and with his feet. I suppose in terms of his, he was always going to be a tight head prop, but in terms of development, I would have given him a run at wing forward and number eight. I think I even played him out half one day. He wasn't the biggest guy on the team. He wasn't the best athlete on the team, but I think it's only fair to say, you're asking Kieran to tell you a bit about the team. It's worth noting that Matthew O'Hanlon, the current Wexford hurling captain, was on that team. Mick Furlong, the current Wexford senior football captain, was on that team. David Sun played Irish youths. Kieran Butler played Irish youths. John Sutton got two caps for Ireland clubs this year. My own son was an inter-pro swimmer at that time. It was a very, very talented group of athletes. But even within that group of athletes, Tadhg stood out all the way from under 8 up to under 19 as the best rugby player. Mm. And he never seemed to have his eye turned towards soccer, or I know he played Gaelic and hurling, but rugby always seemed to be the game that he preferred, and it was definitely the game that suited him. So even in a team of wonderful athletes, this boy stood out for his rugby ability, for his instinctive ability to play that game superbly from the age of about 10. And from the age of about 10, I was telling anybody who cared to listen, and they all thought I was mad, but from the age of 10, I was saying to people that Tadhg Furlong would play for Ireland. But what I've seen is a graduated development. It's almost, I've seen Tadhg play for Ireland as if he's being restrained, as if he's been told there are things you are not to do. But every year his game has developed, and even this year now, I used to always give out to him because he wasn't scoring enough tries. I knew he could score more tries. This year he scored 3 tries very recently, and he's showing other little skills that I saw when he was a 10-year-old to a 14-year-old, little chips through, one-handed catches in lineouts. So the skills that were innate in him as a kid, they're coming more and more out in him now as an adult. It's like Joe Schmidt is letting him a little bit more off the leash every time he goes out and plays. And I believe now, I believe, yes, he is the best tight head prop in the world, but I actually don't believe he's the best that he can be yet. He won't be 27 until next month. He's got another 5 years of top class rugby to develop into, I honestly believe, the best tight head prop there ever has been.
Is that the biggest benefit of the professional setup that we have now, is that integrated, like that? It's I think it's probably the most complete development path of any sport in this country. Certainly at a professional level, guys are getting all the help they can get almost from 15 upwards. Would you say that's the biggest benefit to this new integrated professional model that we've seen in the last 10, 15 years?
No, absolutely. I mean, Tadhg started with a junior club. He went into a South East development squad. He went into a Leinster development squad. He gets strength and conditioning training. He gets the best of coaching. The facilities that are available to these players are phenomenal now. There must be world-class facilities that are available to them now. I mean, the good players and the dedicated players will develop into world-class players in that environment. It's inevitable that they will, so absolutely, yes. The downside of professionalism, I think, is that individualism is very much coached out of players now. That's another side of the game that we don't necessarily have to talk about here.
And I suppose, David, I want to ask you, and then I want to come back to Kieran for a final question, just about the club now. What's the future hold now for New Ross? What's plans are in the pipeline? What can we expect to see over the next couple of years?
The biggest thing that we have this year is that we have our is our 50th anniversary is coming upon us. You know, that leads to all sorts of, we've secured our Interpro for next year, and we're not too sure of the date exactly as, but it's Munster versus Leinster in Euros, and that's a big thing. You know, and we've spoken all there tonight about how the club has progressed and what it's progressed with Tadhg this, and we have John Sutton, and we have whoever else that we have. We also have a huge presence in Catherine Dempsey. Catherine was our Interpro last year, and this year she plays centre. She is one to watch. So if you think that Tadhg is going to go places, this lady is only 6, she's going on 17, and she played under 18 this year. She is just a wrecking cannonball, as John Keenan says, on the female end of it. You know, she's brilliant. Comes from a lovely family, lovely brothers and sisters, just so down to earth again, farming background, and such a pleasant lady. So that really helps from the ladies' end of it in the club. Tadhg really helps from the men's end of it in the club. Yeah, we'll be having our 50th this year. We're looking forward to that. And I think what we're trying to do is maybe every second month or every third month between now and next year, have different events on to mark that. You know, I think Morris has the first minutes of the club that were ever taken back in
December 1970.
So he had a brilliant idea that, you know what, we should reenact this at Christmas time again. So it's going to be the first thing that we'll have something going on, and we'll invite back anyone that's alive to participate in a few drinks, a few finger food, a bit of finger food in December to commemorate the first meeting of the club. And we'll take it from there. What was lovely last week for me was we had the kids inside watching Tadhg, and we had maybe 50 or 60 kids in there. And next one was Ireland's Call came on, and every little young fella to a man and a little girl stood up and they all sang Ireland's Call.
Yeah.
Tadhg scored a try. The place went ballistic. They showed the replay a minute later and they thought he scored again. it went absolutely fair. So we had to explain, no, he's not after scoring again. It's a replay. So that all lends to the community and the camaraderie, and those kids remember that on a Saturday morning. And as I was said about Tadhg and Mag earlier on, this is not going to last forever.
Yeah.
So we as a club have a window of opportunity to make sure that, you know, we can, in inverted commas, use what we have there at the moment to better our club, and no better man than Tadhg to work with us and help us there.
So, Kieran, you were just talking there about last Saturday. You were jumping up out of your seat at work. Where will you be watching the game now this Saturday against the All Blacks?
Definitely going to get down to the clubhouse and get watch the game this weekend. You know, by all accounts, I think I missed a good afternoon last weekend. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. But yeah, definitely get down this week. Hopefully, David will have the breakfast cooking again, and we'll hopefully get a big crowd in and get behind them. 4 years ago in the Argentina game, I don't think I've ever seen a bigger crowd in New York Rugby Club for the game. Tadhg sent us back a video, literally a 10-second video, saying thanks for supporting me, and you know, no one knew who he was at that stage, but we knew who he was. Yeah. And I honestly never think I've seen as many people in the club for that game. So hopefully if we can get something like that again, you know, it was a great afternoon. The result didn't go our way. Hopefully the result goes our way this weekend. But look, if we can get a big crowd up to the club and just get really behind them, and it just makes it a great occasion. And it's like Dave was saying, what an occasion it could be. One of our own World Cup quarter final against the All Blacks, you know. Let's hope he crosses the whitewash again. we go as berserk as we went last Saturday. I think it'd be fitting.